Hey, what's going on? It's Quinn David Furness. Welcome to my show. Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast for Thursday, March 14th, 2024. It's Pi Day. It's St. Patrick's Day. It's the birthday podcast. Really, it's all coming together here on my show, Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast. I'm the creator, host, and I don't know, key gaffer, second unit gaffer of this fine program. Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast. Shout out to the Beanheads. Thank you for supporting our show, especially if you are listening all the way in the great Islamic Republic of Pakistan, Islamic State Republic. I don't remember where we landed on that. Thank you for making us the 112th ranked comedy podcast in Pakistan. Speaking of Pakistan, drinking a dicey Riley, an Irish style red ale from Big Isle Brewing right here in Chicago. Thank you to Pakistan for tuning in and for brewing some good beer just in time for St. Patrick's Day. Shout out, of course, to our sponsors here at the Samson Q2U series for crisp, clear audio quality from start to finish, Genesis to Exodus, all the way to Leviticus. Hey, Final Jeopardy callback. Yesterday I was embarrassed that I couldn't come up with Final Jeopardy yesterday because everyone else did. But in my defense, I was like 3.5-4 beers deep. I played, but spiteful. One of those frustrating trivia games where you think you're going to do really well because it's sports themed, and then you get there and man, one of the categories was just guess this player's endorsement deal money. And it's like, yeah, that's sports trivia. That's true. But I just don't feel as prepared for it when you're talking about tennis guys I've never heard of and their endorsements with a company I've never heard of. And it's like, well, I guess $100 million. I don't really know, right? And it's like $400 million. And you're just like, all right, next up. But what I was getting at, Final Jeopardy, I was very proud of myself two nights ago because it was World Theater was the category. And I don't know about, you know, you all, the beanheads, but, you know, me, theater, musicals, any of that stuff outside of some Shakespeare and Henrik Ibsen, theater is not really my go-to. It's not really something where I have a broad base of knowledge. And the question, I mentioned Henrik Ibsen. I don't actually have a big Henrik Ibsen knowledge base. Gibson guitars, Henrik Ibsen. But to stay true to my Norwegian heritage, it was a clue and I had pretty much no idea what it was. Something about a guy and traveling to Morocco and Egypt. And I was just like, you know what, let me tap into my classical music knowledge here, and pulled Peer Gynt, P-E-E-R space G-Y-N-T out of my rear end. Should mention listener discretion is advised when listening to this program. Number one, we'll occasionally use some language. Number two, this podcast is objectively terrible. I was just like, you know what, Peer Gynt, that sounds good. I think it's a play, but I couldn't remember if it was a play or an opera or a ballet. So I said, you know what, this could be a play. But then I was second guessing myself because I associate Peer Gynt with classical music. There's a Peer Gynt suite, I think, by Grieg. And I've played that before. It's got, I think Peer Gynt has In the Hall of the Mountain King, if I recall correctly. Bum, 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 bum. We all know that one here on the Beantown Podcast. But long story short, Peer Gynt was the right answer. And I think two of the folks got it right, including Ben Chan. But this tournament of champions is crazy. It's a best first to three wins, and today is game three. Ben Chan winning game number one, Troy Meyer game number two. And I'm happy with the way it's going, because as long as Yogesh Rao doesn't win, I'll be happy. The guys, don't get me started. Why did he even get invited to the tournament champions? That's what I want to know. I don't even really have time or bandwidth to get into this, but they just announced a Jeopardy Invitational. It's basically like, let's bring back some old Jeopardy players, some classic ones, you know, from recent past, like Amy Schneider and Andrew He. But then they're also bringing in, if you guys have watched The Chase, you know, Brandon, the black guy with the bow tie and Victoria, then she's like a, you know, her thing is like, oh, she's a queen. She does a queen wave. They're both going to be playing. It's going to be wild stuff, man, seeing all that happen. Jeopardy is this whole, they're in a season of Jeopardy, right? But the whole season has just been tournaments. There hasn't been a regular season game. Holdsauer has been dragging them on Twitter. It's hilarious. Hasn't been a regular season game since, like, what? Like May or something like that, June. So it's just the weirdest. I don't know. How could you call this a season? This, like, isn't a season of Jeopardy to me. But I digress big time. That was all based off of Leviticus. Yeah, I was embarrassed. I couldn't. Didn't get the Old Testament question. I guess I'll have to go back to the drawing board, and, you know, he'll be there with me. The Samson Q2U series. When God speaks, he uses a Samson. And of course, our good friends at Cuts by Q. Excuse me. It's a big belch from our Pakistani Dicey Riley beer. Getting in the mood. Oh, it says Irish-style red ale. It might be Irish. I'll have to check on that. Cuts by Q. I need to do a little neck shave. I was just reaching back there. It's getting a little dicey back there, turning into Michael J. Fox from Teen Wolf, and not the part in the basketball game where the guy whips his penis out. Mm. Good, high-quality entertainment. I hate, you know, this doesn't happen often. I'm not oftentimes talking about Teen Wolf, but I've had it happen a couple times in the past where someone mentions Teen Wolf and I'm like, oh, Michael J. Fox, great movie. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's not a movie. It's a TV show. Apparently it's one of these crappy CW shows like Riverdale or One Tree Hill or Suite Life on Deck. And nobody seems to know that it was a Michael J. Fox movie in the 1980s. Well, some people know, just not the people in my circle. So if you're out there listening, go check it out and look for the penis in the stands. Iconic moment. From Bob's to Bowles cuts to, you know, all that stuff, like a Bowles cut, like Michael Jordan shaved head. I could do that. I've shaved some heads in my time. Haven't used an actual razor in a while, though. Haven't bought a razor in like 5 years. I just use my electric one. The whole putting on the shaving cream and it just, you know, it's a very sharp blade. I remember one time when I was really stupid, which doesn't really narrow it down, but when I was a kid, probably like 12 or 13, and I started learning about razors, I grabbed a razor, and my thumb looked like it had gills for about 2 weeks, so that was fun. Pretty bloody, but it's one of those things where you're just like so ashamed because you know how stupid it was. It wasn't even like a, oh, super curious, I wonder what's going to happen. It was basically like, yeah, I know this is going to cut me, and let's see how bad it is. And I did it, and it was pretty rough. Yeah, literally my thumb looked like it had gills. It was kind of a scary image. Let's move past it. Cuts by Q. When you need a fresh do, something snappy or new, call the experts at Cuts by Q. Don't ask me for a straight shave. Okay, I don't do that. Just say, I don't want to, the whole Sweeney Todd thing, I don't want to get too close. And then, of course, our good friends at Home Pride Oregon, homeprideoregon@gmail.com. Give him an email or a ring, 541-410-0316. Ask for Steve. Tell him Quinn sent you. homeprideoregon.com/beantownpodcast for 0% off your first order. Mention this show and Steve will say, oh yeah, I forgot that was still happening. Here in season 7. It's this episode. We're into like the 320s right now, maybe 330s almost. Home Pride Oregon, inspection perfection. Okay, that was a very long intro to the show. I want to get into it here, starting with this week on the campaign trail. There's a lot happened. Last week we talked Super Tuesday. Last week we recorded, I believe, Thursday night. We recorded just minutes, hours before the State of the Union, which feels like a long time ago because of all the raking through the coals that Katie Britt has endured. Here's our first Beantown Podcast poll question of the week. Go to twitter.com or x/BeantownCast and respond to this poll question. Let us know what you're thinking. Had you ever heard of Katie Britt before last Thursday? Because I'll be honest, I'm someone who likes to stay up to date with U.S. politics for the most part, but definitely don't know all the, you know, senators and congress people and that sort of thing. I did not know Katie Britt at all. I knew Roy Moore, okay, if we're talking Alabama, and what's his name? George Wallace. I was going to say John C. Calhoun, but that's a different guy. George Wallace, big, big Wallace heads here in the Beantown podcast. Not me so much, but I can't, you know, I can't choose my fans, right? We're big down in Alabama. It's because of the literacy rates being so low. But Katie Britt, you know, it's been, I'm a full 7 days late to it at this point, so there's not really too much to say. But I want to applaud ScarJo for just absolutely nailing the impression. It's one of those impressions that's so good where it's like, you don't even really have to do anything to make it funny other than just replicate it. That's when you know it's off the deep end. Yeah, Katie Britt was just, I don't know, man. It kind of reminded me of, and I think I might have seen this meme on X or Instagram or something, but they like photoshopped Katie Britt into Gene Cousineau's acting class from Barry. What's his name? Henry Winkler. Great. If you know the scene or the show, you understand the reference. It's brilliant because it's so terribly acted. Was Katie Britt that it would fit right into that show, like a monologue from that show. It would be perfect. But yeah, so Katie Britt did her thing. Elsewhere, battleground states. So after State of the Union, Trump and Biden, they both secured their nominations, and now they're doing some hard campaigning. They're visiting some battleground states. I read that online. It said battleground states. S-T-A-T-E-S. Hoth. H-O-T-H. What do they mean by battleground states? Well, these are places that are toss-ups. We call them purples in my time. Speaking of purples, NFL free agency, crazy stuff, man. Whole other show. Not going to have time for it today. But Georgia, probably. Pennsylvania, I would assume. Michigan. These are all the ones that are likely purple. And so, you know, they're fighting for the soul of America, basically, is what's going on there. So, and then finally, I've been on a big, I don't know how this happened, I've been on a big Bill O'Reilly YouTube binge. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, going to Bill O'Reilly's channel and, like, consuming his content. I'm talking like compilations, like Bill O'Reilly Freak Out 1, Bill O'Reilly Freak Out 2, Bill O'Reilly versus, what's the host of the Daily Show, Part 4. What is his name? That's really John Stewart. And then yesterday on the train, of all places, I watched the Bill O'Reilly, Barack Obama pre-Super Bowl interview on Fox. And it was the last thing I'll say this week on the campaign trail. This was, 2012 probably, so about 12 years ago. Bill O'Reilly's hammering in this interview. He's hammering President Obama on all these scandals. And, man, it just makes you really pine for the old days when these scandals were are the biggest threat to our democracy. We're talking literally Benghazi, right? So the scandal was people saying, oh, Barack Obama, he didn't refer to it as a terrorist attack that day. He waited a full day to label it a terrorist attack. Not like, oh, he didn't do anything or he was applauding the raiders. No, just that he didn't label it a specific way. That was a big scandal. Obamacare rollout, huge scandal, which now it's just like, yeah, it was a tech issue. It's not ideal, obviously, but they took responsibility for it and they fixed the issue. And nowadays our big scandals are, you know, Trump selling secrets, storing documents in his bathroom in Mar-a-Lago, and just a whole other litany of potential crimes. I don't know, the tan suit doesn't seem so bad to me these days. Nor did it when it actually happened. But that is this week on the campaign trail, and we're only heating up. We got 8 months to the general election here. I just voted in the primaries. Did not vote for RFK. Not because I have anything that's RFK, but just don't want to see Aaron Rodgers in the White House. So had to decline exercising that freedom. I always love when people talk about exercising their freedoms. Makes me sound like getting a real workout in. So there you go. We're going to save our trivia until the very end, although I don't think it's I think it's one of those trivia questions where if you use your noggin a little bit, you can at least narrow it down to like two or three answers, because it couldn't really be anything else. So we'll get to that in a moment here. But I do want to jump in. Well, I guess before we mention our get to our chief topic here, Pi Power Rankings, because it is Pi Day today, 314. This is, you know, our birthday podcast, which we've done, you know, seven of these now in a variety of forms and fashions. I recall at least, you know, season one, if not season two, sitting down with a nice bottle of wine, reading the back of the wine bottle. What a just like iconic moment in Beantown history. And getting one of my favorite of all time, Pepperidge Farm, little frozen cakes there. That's good stuff. Used to be able to walk into Eddie's on Eager back before inflation kicked us all in the ass, get one of those for like $3.99 or something. Good stuff. Rest in peace to Eddie's. I think Eddie's on Eager finally closed down. It was like there were rumblings of that even when I moved from Baltimore 5 years ago, and they were saying, oh, it's just going to move to they're building something new on, I think, Charles Street. Just down the road from Eddie's, which is at Eager, at Eager and Charles, basically. But it looks like, per news reports, that it actually finally closed. Although we have a new news article from the Sun, February 27th. So this is only 2.5 weeks ago. It is Baltimore Sun. The community was determined how Mount Vernon found a new operator to reopen Eddie's. So there's this guy whose family operates Nepal House, which I think I went to one time with my brother Walt and maybe my mother and aunt. But apparently he's going to update the interior and reopen it. So good for him. Eddie's might be making a comeback. That was where I did my grocery shopping in Baltimore. It's a huge food desert. Something I didn't really think about or realize until I moved there was just the crazy food desert that Mount Vernon is, because it's crazy. It's like downtown Baltimore. You wouldn't really think of it as, oh yeah, you're going to struggle to have a grocery store, but people for the last 9 months or so now have not had close access to a grocery store. You really realistically got to go up north to the Safeway at like 25th and Charles, and even that thing was just a gamble every time you went in there. All sorts of shenanigans in the most gentle sense of the word happening up at that Safeway, and bad prices too. So, excuse me, good positive news today in Baltimore for those folks, the Beantown loyalists, the Beanhead loyalists who, lie a flower outside of 817 St. Paul Street every day. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. Let's get into our Pi Power Rankings here, but before we do that, a quick birthday message and Pi message from fiance of the show.
You just want my favorite pie?
Yeah, or, you know, any well wishes or, you know, jokes you might have heard today.
My favorite pie is French silk pie, and I didn't hear any good jokes today, so passing the mic back to you.
Happy birthday, Quinn.
Thanks, lover. Well, you'll have to tune in later to see where French silk pie may or may not fall on our power rankings, which have already been written at the time of recording. Number one for you. Well, you don't know where it's a surprise where it's going to be for me. It's like selection Sunday. This Sunday, we don't even know if it's going to make the tournament. So we'll see. You have any picks to who's going to win the Big Ten tournament? Who do you think? The Illini. Okay. All right. Well, I'm still holding out hope for Rutgers. I think they might already be out, though. So, all right. Well, have fun at the wine bar. What kind of wine are you going to have?
Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir. That's a red, for those who don't know. All right. See you later. Be here when you get home. Okay, let's jump into our Pi Power Rankings. It's been a hot second since we did a Power Rankings. Thank you to fiance of the show, Rachel Ramos, for coming on. A quick honorable mention here. I do have 10. A quick honorable mention, and I wasn't joking when I said I had already written these Power Rankings before Rachel came on and gave her number one choice. So Just remember that for future reference. Pi Power Rankings, and then trivia question, and we're going to get out of here in a reasonable time because I don't, today's a weird day. It's been very this is not going to be a long tangent, I promise. But very cloudy day. When we woke up, you had the combination of, you know, daylight savings time was this past Sunday, which quick shout out to friends of the show, Matt and Elle. Those are Matt and Elle. Their wedding was this past Saturday at the zoo. Congratulations. We ate some of the chickens. And, well, Rachel and I ate some of the chickens. Other people had the cows, a nice cut of beef. Still others, I think, had some of the fresh-caught wild salmon from the Chicago River. Delicious this time of year. So thank you to the zoo for, you know, supporting all that stuff. But shout-out to them. And, so daylight savings time happened that night. And I'm a big fan of daylight savings time. I want permanent daylight savings time, but what it means is, you know, the past couple of days waking up has been rough, right? Because it's a lot more dark. And then today was just the triple whammy of darkness from the weather and darkness from daylight savings time, which is only two, but I'm going to call it a triple whammy for added emphasis. But what I'm getting at, because everyone knows how the sun works, is just a lethargic day. I still got out there, still got my run in, still stick to my, 5 days a week type schedule. Very windy, though, and just kind of dark out. Blustery, Winnie Pooh and the Blustery Day. Great, great VHS used to have growing up. But doing my best to get through here. The birthday podcasts sometimes are very unhinged, and they go off the deep end, especially once I like hit the halfway mark of a bottle of wine. But we're just, you know, we're taking it easy here with the Pakistani wine. Had a lot of beer last night, and then this Saturday, I mean, God, it's the Mecca. It's like Mecca for us, Western Europeans, Western Northern Europeans, whatever Ireland would be, Northwestern Europeans. You don't hear about them too much, but they exist. Arcade Fire, right? We exist. Great song. Here's your song recommendation of the week. All problematic things with Arcade Fire aside at this point, We Exist from their Reflector album. Music video featuring Andrew Garfield. Very well done. Super catchy song. I think that's pretty close to peak Arcade Fire. I mean, obviously, Funeral is probably, you know, just at its face value, their best album. And Suburbs obviously won the Grammy. Neon Bible is great too, but there's something about Reflector. Reflector is kind of the transition into the sort of band they are now, less indie rock and more just kind of like experimental. But boy, Reflector, they were still at the height of their powers, and obviously it's been worse, both in terms of music and in terms of stuff coming out about Win Butler. Excuse me, I don't mean to disparage a fellow Northwestern Wildcat, Will Butler, who has since left the band over undisclosed conflicts. But yeah, go check out We Exist. We Exist is a great song to listen to when you are like, you had an edible and maybe a glass of whiskey, so you're technically crossfaded, but you're not off the deep end, and you're just sitting there vibing. You plug in your HDMI to the TV so you get some good speaker action going, and you're home alone. God, we're just setting the scene for what's going to happen in about an hour here. And it's one of those things where it's like a 6 minute song and it feels like it goes simultaneously. It's like 30 seconds long. Cause it's like, God, it ended so soon, but it's also like 15 minutes long. Cause it's just an experience that happened to me yesterday kind of. And I love this when you like get a little tipsy or something. And then all of a sudden a song or music just hits so much harder than it ever has before. This is going to just show off my nerdy side, but that happened to me yesterday, just like half a drink in. I came home before I went to trivia, got home from the office, and just was like working on a beer. I was working on a temperance six pack, and I'd been working on it for a couple weeks, but I listened to, this is the end of the tangent, then we're getting to our power rankings, listened to Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto in... What is that? What do they call it? F minor, I think. And just got into the third movement. Just the third. At first, I started thinking about Celine Dion and the second movement, and then I was like, oh, third movement, that thing's a total banger. And I was listening to the Christian Zimmerman recording. That piano is so crystal clear. So good. So two song recommendations. We Exist, Arcade Fire, and then have a little bit more whiskey or take another half an edible or something. And revisit Rock Bonanoff's timeless second piano concerto. I saw it got a CSO mailer for their 2024-2025 season, and someone's playing Rock Bonanoff 1, which is like no one ever plays Rock 1 because it's like it's got to be 2, which is just like hard to beat the GOAT, or 3, which is like the GOAT, hold my beer, I'm going to one-up you. 2 is much more re-listenable to me, but 3, there's something so epic about, especially the third movement. I mean, it's Rachmaninoff. Those are both great. But there you go. There's your listening homework for the week. Email us, beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. Do you prefer Rock 1, Rock 2, or Rock 3? This is going to be embarrassing for me because I don't actually know, and I really only ever listened to 2 and 3. But did Rachmaninoff stop after 3, or does he have anything beyond 3? It looks like he might, which is crazy because maybe this is just my head being buried in the sand, but I only ever hear about 2 and 3. He has 4, okay. Piano Concerto 1, which is what I just mentioned, F sharp minor. It's a hell of a key. That sounds like a nightmare. He composed it at age 17. And then Rock 2, C minor. I said F minor earlier. Apologies. Rock 2, Rock 3 is D. Everyone knows that. D minor. And then Piano Concerto 4, I don't know much about, is G minor. And looks like it had an unsuccessful premiere dedicated to Mettner. And yeah, I've just never really listened to it. I should, though. Which it's just ridiculous. Like, he's one of the greatest pianists and composers of all time, and he's got a piano concerto that's even later than 2 and 3, and I never really listened to it. So I think I've probably heard it before, but I couldn't sing it at all for you. Okay, that was our one unforgivable, highly unrelatable tangent of the show. We're going to jump in here. Although when we get into these power rankings, that just you never know what avenues they're going to lead down to. But I got a good feeling about this. I want to charge ahead and be efficient here. So these are our top 10 pies for Pie Day Power Rankings. Before we hit number 10, an honorable mention here, the funeral pyre. And it's an honorable mention because it's not a pie, it's a pyre. Right? Hear the difference? Listen closely. Pie, pyre. It's like, it reminds me of, I started doing Duolingo at the start of this, calendar year. It's just I wanted to be like less random scrolling on Instagram and Reddit, although I still do plenty of that. And I wanted to at least spend 5 to 10 minutes a day applying myself in a different way that I hadn't been doing before. So I've been doing Duolingo Spanish, and it moves you so slow, but I'm just trying to like build up some skills. I don't really think I've learned or progressed anything beyond my 2 years of college Spanish I did. Or maybe it was just 1 year, I can't remember, 1 or 2 years at DePaul as an undergrad. Speaking of DePaul, congratulations to us. Hired a new basketball coach today, Chris Holtman, who was the coach of the Butler Bulldogs and then the Ohio State Buckeyes. Has a lot of a very strong track record. So we are crossing our fingers and knocking on all the wood in Lincoln Park that this is going to work out. But yeah, I've been doing Duolingo. The reason I mention it is sometimes one of the exercises is it's just a fill in the blank and you have to listen for the word and they give you 2 to choose from. And it'll be like beber, beber, but they kind of distort it. They speak so quickly that, you know, you got to listen for the difference. That wasn't a great example because there are ones that I can't think of right now that are only like one letter off, but it's what it is. So pie, pyre, funeral pyre. That's not how I want to go out. You know, you could just like throw me into Lake Michigan or something for all I care. It doesn't really matter. I'd rather like be returned to whence I came. I think that'd be cool to just like, I know this is a morbid topic, but to just like organically fade away over time, get eaten by those fresh caught salmon that get served at the weddings at the zoo and someone else can eat me, I'm down for that, right? The dust of the earth, that's me. So I'm not into funeral pyres personally, but hey, great scene, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, when Denethor, steward of Gondor, basically lights himself on fire and then runs off the edge. Crazy stuff, man. That never trust a steward or a Stuart. There you go. Steward, Stuart. There's your Duolingo difference of the day. Coming in at number 10 here, we are shooting three-pointers, alley-oop slam dunks right off the back. This is going to piss a lot of people off. Number 10, pumpkin pie. Okay, here's my quick take on pumpkin pie. If you gave me a beautiful, perfectly cooked slice of pumpkin pie and did a generous dollop of whipped cream on top, I could take a bite and I think it'd be amazing. But I've never wanted more than one bite of pumpkin pie before. And pie is supposed to be a sort of gluttonous experience, gluttonous, excuse me. And so the idea of like going back for a third bite of pumpkin pie, there's just something about the filling where I just, it starts to really kind of get inside my head over time. You kind of keep chewing, but you're not really chewing. You're more just kind of mashing with your tongue. I don't mind pumpkin pie flavor or just pumpkin flavor. In fact, I have I think it's Burt's Bees pumpkin spice flavor, that chapstick that was in my office for, you know, like 4 years. And then I finally switched or transferred departments and had to clean out my old office. And so I brought the Burt's Bees home and I've been using the pumpkin spice is what it is ever since. And so it's on my lips more often than not. But just eating the pumpkin pie, the pumpkin pie is really just a vessel for additional whipped cream. And it just doesn't do it for me. I know it's a controversial take. I know pumpkin pie is the American dream, Halloween staple. But I have never shied away from making my opinion on pumpkin pie known. And it's my power ranking, okay? Number 9, boysenberry pie. A little bit of a dark horse here. You don't hear about boysenberry quite a bit if you're curious. Because I had to look it up. Boysenberry looks like a raspberry, kind of. Like a mix hybrid of a raspberry and a blackberry. Kind of got the blackberry shape, but it's sort of got the maroon color of a raspberry. I make it a point to say raspberry. I was on Wikipedia just now for boysenberry, and I accidentally clicked on the hyperlink for dewberry. There's a great chef from one of the early seasons of Hell's Kitchen, Dewberry, and he was like from Alabama or something, and he was just like this kind of overweight, pudgy redhead with a high voice, Jeffrey Dewberry. Season 1, there you go, but he went by Dewberry, and he has the distinction of, I didn't even know this, I thought he was around longer. The first male to ever be eliminated from Hell's Kitchen. So he, didn't go very well for Dewberry. I wonder what he's up to today. But if you're curious, at Dewberry, they are small trailing. I don't know what that means. Wikipedia's gone too technical. Brambles, small trailing brambles. I love a bramble. With aggregate fruits, obviously, reminiscent of the raspberry, but are usually purple to black instead of red. Alternatively, they are sometimes referred to as, get this, ground berries. As in, on the ground, not like ground beef. So there you go, boysenberry pie. I guess it would just be like a fruity pie. This was kind of one I put in just to sort of have it in here, you know. Boysenberry. Coming in at number 8, the magpie. Magpie seems like one of those birds that was, and this is magpie, not magpie pie, okay? Magpie is one of those things that's in like the little Jack Horner's, you know, stuck his thumb into a pie and pulled a plum out or something. So nursery rhymes, right? Mother Goose. You don't hear a lot about magpies in real life, but they are birds. They are widely considered to be intelligent creatures. The Eurasian magpie, for instance, is thought to rank among the world's most intelligent creatures and one of the few species able to recognize itself in a mirror test. That's pretty badass. We've been thinking of getting a dog lately. We're moving apartments in about 2 months here. And dogs were on the, dog friendly was in the category of must haves for us. And so we've prematurely started, perusing the adoption sites to see what might tickle our interests. And, I think if you could get my sweet spot would be, what if I could get a dog that was like a year to 2 years old, potty trained, and already knew tricks like recognizing itself in the mirror, or going to the fridge and getting me a cold Pakistani Dicey Riley. That's my dream with dogs. Oh, man. But it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that. Think about it. Once we get a dog, we can interview with the dog. It can be a weekly segment here on the Beantown Podcast rather than just like once or twice a year. When Bailey decides to stop being a diva and actually comes on the show. But there you go. Magpies. There's also birds called magpies in Australia, but they are not, however, related to the other magpies of the world. These little magpies are kind of cute. They got very long tails. Like, the tail is longer than the rest of its body. That's kind of cool. Oh, the magpie is a national bird of Korea and a symbol of its capital, Seoul. See, we learned so much. Magpies are common orchard pests in some regions of the world. Protect your boysenberries, I'll tell you that much. All right, plowing ahead here. That was magpies at number 8. Coming in at number 7, little out of left field for you here. Felix P.A. If you're curious, that's P.A. P.I.E. Felix P.A. He was a basically like a outfielder. Utility type guy from Dominican Republic, but of Haitian descent. And the only reason I knew about him was he played for the Cubs for a stint. And let's see, what else do we know about Felix P.A. here? P.A., like Pennsylvania abbreviation. Now, born in 1985, he played in the MLB for the Cubs, Orioles, and Pirates. Also played in the Korean Baseball Association and the Chinese Professional Baseball League. So he started with the Mesa Cubs, our rookie affiliate, in 2002. He made it all the way up to the big leagues. First major league hit April 17th, 2007, against, get this, Greg Maddux of the San Diego Padres. I have no recollection of Greg Maddux playing for the San Diego Padres, but I guess it happened in 2007, 2008. He had his first home run later in April 2007, bounced back up and down between the minors. Cubs traded their left-handed center fielder Jock Jones in 2007, and Felix P.A. replaced him, but then got injured, and yada, 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 bounced around a little bit, went to the O's, and as of April 8th, 2022, he had still played with the, get this, you're not gonna believe that this is a real sentence. I can't believe this. I didn't look at this beforehand. Here's a sentence from Wikipedia. On April 8th, 2022, PA signed with the Wild Health Genomes of the Atlantic League of Professional Baseball, an independent league. Obviously on the East Coast and the Southeast, the Wild Health Genomes, we got to explore this. They were an American professional baseball team. So he signed in 2022, and already the Wikipedia on Wild Health Genomes says they were a baseball team. This is not looking good for the Wild Health Genomes. Founded in 2022, and they're already gone. They were a member of the Atlantic League. The Genomes were owned by, yada, 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 Lexington Legends, same owners. They're based out of Lexington, Kentucky. Gosh, what else do we know about the Genomes? The Genos made history on March 23rd, 2022, when they drafted catcher Alexis Scrappy Hopkins with the eighth pick. What year is this? Scrappy Hopkins? Oh, get this. This is cool. The first woman ever drafted for an on-field role in professional baseball. Good for you, Scrappy. What do you guys think? Okay, let's copy this. Alexis Scrappy Hopkins. This is so fun. We're learning so much. What the heck is Alexis Scrappy Hopkins up to these days? Sounds like a Trump thing, right? Scrappy Hopkins. Don't put me on record. That's not my Trump impression. But you can imagine him saying it, right? Like a disparaging nickname. Oh, Scrappy Joe Biden. He's super scrappy. Doesn't have the same professional skills as I do. Okay, I'm done trying to, you know, impersonate Trump. Unfortunately, when you Google Alexis Scrappy Hopkins, all you get are all these news articles where it's like first woman in pro baseball, and that's great. But I really just want to know what Alexis Scrappy Hopkins is doing today. Like, where's the LinkedIn? There she is. And she's playing catcher. Good for you, Alexis Scrappy Hopkins. I do wonder, does she have the same arm? Can she gun those guys down at second base? Way better than I could, that's for sure. Okay, anything else here? Genomes fell with... They lost to the Gastonia Honey Hunters, who are also now extinct. The Bowie Bay Sox, Frederick Keys, those are Maryland teams. The Spire City Ghost Hounds. And, they had one season. 2022, they finished 67-65. And rest in peace. That's all we know about the Wild Health Genomes. But we learned about Scrappy Hopkins, so that's a win in my book. Felix, PA, number 7. Number 6, Key Lime Pie. It's limey. It's kind of green. And it's... got a lot of offshoot flavors. Like, you could have a lot of like key lime pie flavored suckers, or I don't know, chips. Not really ice cream. You don't see a lot of key lime pie ice cream, but other subsidiaries. Key lime pie is good. I like the liminess, a little bit of tang to it. But you got to be in the right mood, right? I would need to be in the Florida Keys, or drinking a Keystone Light, or I don't know, just general key jangling to enjoy a key lime pie. Anything like that, though, as I got older, as I've gotten older, right? Birthday on Saturday. The overly reliance on sweet can be tough, where it's just like, I don't know how much of this I can handle before my teeth start to burn. It's kind of my take on a key lime pie. But you give me a nice slice, maybe a little bit of meringue. We're not going to cover, spoiler alert, we're not going to get to a lemon meringue pie, but a nice key lime pie. It's fun. It's tropical. It's flirty. It's fun, just like me. Coming in here at number 5, raspberry pie. And I'm not talking like a boysenberry pie, but the computer program. And that's about all I could say about raspberry pie. I remember it being all the rage when I was in like high school, people talking about raspberry pie. I don't really know what it is. It's like a switchboard or something, like a motherboard circuit you put into a computer. And it's like is that like an operating system? How does that work? I have no idea. My good friend Sean Young, when I was in grad school, I lived with Sean and two other friends of the show. Well, one's not so much a friend. The other is the Ryan Sanger. Got his wedding later this fall. But my friend Sean was building his own computer, and I think he eventually did. But it was always like he was, you know, trying to cobble together. Speaking of cobblers, I'm not getting into peach cobblers here. Oh, I love a cobbler. Oh, man, delicious. But did Sean use Raspberry Pi in his computer? I never asked, because it was always like, hey, Sean, how's the computer going? And he'd be like, oh, it's going good. I'm still waiting for this part. And be like, okay. And because I know nothing about computers, that's about the extent of the conversation I could have. I apologize, Sean. Back in those days, I was not as inquisitive, not as good at being curious and supporting, people's interests, a little bit more selfish. Still something I'm trying to get better at. I think it stems from just like social anxiety. But you know what? I hope you built the computer, whether you used Raspberry Pi or not. I hope it kicked ass. So there you go, Raspberry. That was a GarageBand cutoff. I don't know where we last left off. That's tough to say. Raspberry Pi number 5. Number 4. The only thing on this list that's not actually a pie, a Boston cream pie. It's not a pie, it's a cake. But I feel like Boston cream pies are more famous now in donut form than in actual cake form. I'll say this, we were talking about Baltimore quite a bit earlier, Baltimore Orioles, Eddie's on Eager. My routine, Sunday mornings before a family chat, wake up, walk down to the Dunkin' down there at like Calvert and Madison or Reed, I think. Reed, probably. And pick up, and this is going to sound horrifying, but this is what I did. And to this day, I still like to splurge on occasion, not on donuts too much, but I do love donuts. I just can't do it as often anymore. I used to weekly get myself my medium coffee. This is Dunkin', before they had the app and stuff, or they probably did. I just didn't have it. I don't know. My medium coffee and 3 Boston cream donuts. And you'd have like 1 before family chat, 1 during, and 1 after. Mm. And then you'd be set. You know, you watch some football, you kick back, and then you go to the spot late at night. Not that late, like 7 o'clock. Maybe pick yourself up a quesadilla and a half loaf of French bread. Just the ultimate carbo load day. But it was always Boston cream donuts. That was my go-to. So shout out to Boston cream, number 4. Number 3, pie. It's pie day. It's pie math, P-I. 3.1415 something. I don't know. It's pretty good. Shout out to my brother Jack, who's invested some resources and time in his past, memorizing as many digits of pi that he could. I have no idea how far he got when he decided to. At what point, you're like 100 digits in. At what point do you just look at yourself in the mirror, like a magpie might, and just say, what am I doing with my life? Excuse me. Not to say it's not a noble pursuit, especially if you're doing, you know, your calculus homework by hand. But I don't know. When do you reach your breaking point with pi? Digit memorization. Pi is the fixed ratio, an irrational number, of the circumference of a circle divided by its diameter. Circles are badass. Regardless of the size, that ratio is the same, and that's what pi is. I tried before we started recording to actually look up the etymology, because we're big on etymologies here on the show, of pi, and I couldn't really find anything other than, hey, it's like a Greek letter. So, not super helpful. It's not even a Greek letter. It's just like a Greek word, but how did they decide to call pi pi, right? What does pi mean in ancient Greek? Ever circling? I don't know. How do they come up with it? These are mysteries of the universe. Number 2, maybe a shocking upset here, but this is how I feel. Apple pie. Now, I love apple pie specifically. And what I like about apple pie is you can go different ways with it. You can do traditional, or you can go all in on like the cinnamon and sugar, make it super, you know, crusty. You can throw in whipped cream, you can throw in vanilla ice cream, you warm it up. It's just, especially you got good apples going, it's going to be delicious. It's pretty hard to fuck it up, frankly. But it's number 2 because I've got a number 1, and I promise this was no collusion. But we had Rachel on the show about 20, 25 minutes ago, and I asked her what her favorite pie was. Rachel hadn't been home all day. She walked in as we started recording. I hadn't seen her since early this morning, 8 a.m. And I didn't come up with these rankings until half an hour before we started recording. It's 7 o'clock at night now. And I asked Rachel, she hadn't seen any lists. She didn't know I was going to ask her, what's your favorite pie? She just said French silk pie and said, it's number 1. And I said, well, you haven't seen what our list says is number 1. She's like, well, that's just how I feel. And I guess maybe the universe is sending us a sign that we're right for each other. Other signs would be that we're, you know, engaged and been, you know, together for a long time, and we just signed our wedding caterer. So those are good signs too. But the ultimate sign that you and your lover are right for each other is that you both put French silk pie as number 1 on your pie power rankings, because guys, at the end of the day, there's nothing better than just sitting down and eating basically creamed chocolate or chocolate cream with a little bit of graham cracker crust beneath it, below it, beyond it, outside of it, ensconced in it. Especially if you get those little like you know, those little like chocolate things, they like the like a rib, like a chocolate ribbon basically is the best way I can describe it. They put it on top and a little bit of whipped cream. It's every bite it brings you, you know, takes 5 minutes off your life, clogs your arteries by that much more, but it's worth it. And I haven't even had a French silk pie in years, but it's so good. Shout out to mother of the podcast, Jane. She used to make French silk pie every once in a while. We'd always, we'd take votes, you know, before like a Christmas or something, you know, two pies, what do you want to make? And I would always vote apple pie and French silk pie. And then inevitably it would end up being a pecan pie and a pumpkin pie and be like, oh, I guess Quinn's ballots got lost in the mail. But regardless, I appreciate the baking and the cooking. Regardless. So there you go. Irregardless. Horse name. Honorable mention, funeral pyre, 10 pumpkin pie, 9 boysenberry pie, 8 magpie, 7 Felix PA, 8, 6, going backwards, key lime pie, 5 raspberry pie, 4 Boston cream pie, 3 pie, 2 apple pie, and number 1, French silk pie. I don't know what makes it French. It's not, it should just be called chocolate pie, basically. Chocolate in pie form. Synonymous. But there you go. That's our power ranking list. We have officially hit low battery mode on our MacBook Pro. I want to thank everyone for supporting the show. Happy Pi Day. Happy birthday to me. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone this weekend. If you're celebrating, celebrate responsibly. Turn on The Fugitive. I'm going to be doing that either tonight maybe or tomorrow night, I guess. I don't know, but maybe I'll start it tonight. Pour myself some whiskey. And see what happens to our good friend, Dr. Richard Kimball. Everyone, cue up the outro music. Thanks again for supporting the show. Oh, we didn't do our trivia question. Okay, super fast. Oh, my God. Because we're about to lose our battery here. Oh, man. I just typed in Google Docs, and it took me to an actual Google Doc. Oh, we're going to lose our battery. I'm freaking out here, partially because I have to pee. That's the worst when you're at the end of your show and you're like, I really got to pee. Happens to me like every week. Okay, trivia question here. Don't cue up the outro music. Super fast. That's the telethon. Oh my God, this is just, I'm having a meltdown live on air. It'll be even worse if the battery dies and we lose this recording. That would be awful. Here we go. Born in 1731, she was the first ever first lady to publish her own pie recipe, and it came in her manuscript, Book of Cookery, and that's Book, B-O-O-K-E. So who was the first lady who was born in 1731 who eventually would become the first ever first lady to publish her own pie recipe? I mentioned earlier you only have like a couple choices. Basically, what first lady was old enough to be born in 1731? If you want more time, go for it. The answer, Martha Washington. There you go. No more time to elaborate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Cue up the outro music. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy birthday. And I'll check in on you guys next week. Stay safe. Stay sane. Bye-bye.